for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, November the 24th, 1990. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gene and Earlene Moody of Baton Rouge, Louisiana are the teachers of the afternoon. This is tape one of two tapes of the afternoon service.
Well, to those of you who haven't met the Moodys, I assume by now you know who they are. They've been here yesterday and today. They're from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Earlene is a retired school teacher. I guess I put it that way. Former school teacher, unretired, and Gene is an everyday working civil engineer, and in between times, which is most of the time, they work like they're going to and do here at the campground this afternoon, and we just appreciate their help. They're our sidekicks along with some of the rest of those that minister here, and without them and others that help us, why we, the campground, wouldn't be able to operate, because Irma and I can't do everything. Sometimes we have to try to do more than we're able to do, but we do our best. We appreciate those that the Lord sends to be helpers. Amen. Gene?
Thank you, Glenn. It's good to be here as usual. I really appreciate this new pulpit, because I always have too many things to go on the old one. Bring my Bible up. I got my mass deliverance manual, and then I've got my lesson notebook. So I need all the room that I can get. And I really appreciate this. Okay, to start off the lesson, I want Earlene to tell you about how we got up here.
Well, you know, usually the trips up here are uneventful. We get in the car and we come up here. And that's it. There's nothing else to it. But this time we got in the car, and of course it was after we had Thanksgiving dinner, and it started up here. And we came about halfway because, you know, it's 10 hours for us to come up here. And that night we prayed about the motel room and everything, but I didn't sleep very good, so I was kind of sluggish the next day. And I don't know if Gene was or not, but we drove on up here and we get into town. Gene says, well, I'm going to have the oil change because I'm 500 miles late doing that. So we go to this place that we usually stop out downtown, and Gene's walking around under the car, and he comes back and he says, you're not going to believe this. And he'll have to tell you what it was, but there was a place where the frame and something else are supposed to be held together with the transmission, right? Well, anyway, this bracket, the bottom part of this bracket was gone. The rubber thing that sort of keeps it from squeaking was there. The bolts were gone, and the top piece was still there. There's no telling how many miles we went that way. And anyway, Gene decided to have that fixed. Well, while he was looking at that and took it down to another place to get it fixed, it turns out that the exhaust pipe is rubbing against the axle, and we could have been asphyxiated anywhere along the way. And so, anyway, we got here. Oh, and another thing. When we stopped at one place to get something to drink and to eat, I took my purse in. I have no thyroid, no parathyroid, according to the doctors. And so I'm not supposed to be alive. So the Lord hasn't seen fit yet to heal me of no thyroid. Why, I don't know. It really doesn't interest me much anymore, because I know that God is with me and that He protects me and that He keeps me healthy. So anyway, but I was taking my purse in so I could take my thyroid. Took my thyroid, left my purse. Gene had just given me some money, quite a bit of money, and I had it in my purse. I walked off and left that purse there. On a trip that I made somewhere, anyway, in last middle of the summer, I had rented a car, and I found out if you don't have a what's that thing called? Credit card. You can't rent the car, although the provisions were already made. So Gene got me a credit card so that if I was out and I needed to rent a car, I could. And I'm thinking, here's this credit card. I've never, ever used it. And what if somebody's used it in the last 30 minutes? So we began to pray for my purse that it would be okay when we got back down there. And sure enough, it was. Not a penny was missing. No cards were missing. Driver's license was there. And God had looked after that. Now, you know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, if God is really with you, then you shouldn't have had any trouble getting up there. How many of you know that that's men's theology? If Paul had problems getting across a area to see somebody he wanted to see and a group he wanted to minister to, what do you think you're going to have? I doubt if there's anybody in here with as much spiritual insight or strength as Paul had. And yet we think everything's supposed to bow down before us automatically. Well, it doesn't. And there's a verse in the Bible that I was looking up, and I'm not one of these people that has much reference in my head. I know where it is on that page. And there's a verse in there, and it talks about these two tribes of Israel who were armed with bow and arrow and went to battle and wouldn't use them. And that's a picture to me of the American church. They're armed. Every one of us is armed. But we're not using what we have to be armed with. And for those people who come here and they think that they should go away on flowery clouds of joy and happiness and ease, forget it. It's false doctrine. You'll be better, but you're going to fight every ounce of the way. And there was another verse in there that I think is good to help us with that. Gene, hand me my Bible. I want to just kind of read that to him. Because I think that we get things all twisted up, and then we wonder, why are we having problems? Now, here's this prophet, Jeremiah. How many of you know about Jeremiah? He talks about, if you can't race with men on foot who are your equal, what are you going to do when the men get on horses and come after you? All right, that's Jeremiah 12. And there was one more I wanted to share. I may have turned it and lost it. This is my old Bible, and I can usually find everything in it. Anyway, it's this verse that talks about when you sit in darkness, you know, even though you get a little deliverance, you're not totally in the light. There's still darkness within and around you. And you have to work maybe for years to get free. And I'm not depressed about that. In fact, I'm quite happy. Because to me, deliverance is exciting. So if I've still got a demon, so what? If he sticks his head up enough for me to notice it, I'm coming after him. And every time I get one out, I get so excited, I think it makes me 10 years younger. All right, this verse says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. If you make a mistake and do the same stupid thing again, get up and fight again. For when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And when Gene had this wreck over in Lafayette, and his mind was gone, I sang that all the way over there. Because I felt I was sitting in tremendous darkness, and yet I knew the Lord was going to be a light to me and bring us out of that. And even though the neurosurgeon told us Gene would have to be put in an institution, the wreck happened on Friday morning, and on Monday afternoon, he drove the camper home.
Thank you, Earlene. Okay, my lesson for today is on demonic ties. I'm glad all of you are here. Many times in deliverance, people don't show up because they're afraid to come. Any of you out there afraid? Okay, let's go through the Bible. Let's look at soul ties first, which are one flesh. Start at Genesis 2:24. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Matthew 19:6. Matthew 19:6. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. 1 Corinthians 6:16. 1 Corinthians 6:16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? Now let's look at curses and bondage. Numbers 5:21. Numbers chapter 5, verse 21. Then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing, and the priest shall say unto the woman, The Lord make thee a curse and an oath among thy people, when the Lord doth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. Then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. Deuteronomy 28:48. Deuteronomy 28:48. It sort of tickles me a little bit. Ruth is here, and I used to pronounce Deuteronomy, you know, like hominy, and she got angry about that. So I try to pronounce it right now, Ruth. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Chapter 30, verse 7. Chapter 30, verse 7. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies. Job 2:9. Job chapter 2, verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Acts 23:12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now let's look at verse 14. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse. We have bound ourselves under a great curse. Galatians 3:10. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now let's look at soul ties and witchcraft. Leviticus 19:31. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Regard not that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards. Chapter 20, verse 6. Chapter 20, verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off. Now let's look at bands and bondage. Leviticus 26:31. Leviticus 13. Let's go backwards. 26:13. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondman, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Judges 15:14. Judges 15:14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. Job 38:31. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Or loose the bands of Orion. Chapter 39, verse 5. 39:5. Who hath sent out the wild ass free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? 39:10, verse 10. Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the Pharaoh? or will he harrow the valleys after thee? Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow? Psalm 2, 3. Psalm chapter 2, verse 3. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Chapter 58, verse 6. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Chapter 73, verse 4. Chapter 73, verse 4. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. For there are no bands in their death. 107:14. 107:14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. And break their bands in sunder. 119:61. 119:61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. Proverbs 6:21. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 21. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. What's that talking about? Right, God's word. Ecclesiastes 7:26. Ecclesiastes 7:26. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. The woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Does that fit any of you women? Okay, Isaiah 28:22. Isaiah 28:22. Now, therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Now, therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. 52:2. Chapter 52, verse 2. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. 58:6. 58:6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. Ezekiel 4:8. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 8. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee. Daniel 4:15. Daniel chapter 4, verse 15. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast and the grass of the earth. Leave the stump of his roots in the earth with a band of iron and brass. Hosea 11:4. Hosea chapter 11, verse 4. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 7. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Verse 14. Then I cut asunder mine own staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands. Luke 8:29. Luke chapter 8, verse 29. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, He broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. He was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands. Colossians 2:19. Colossians 2:19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. From which all the body by joints and bands and knit together. Okay, we've gone through the Bible. Stand up and take a stretch. We've talked about soul ties, one flesh, curses or bondage, soul ties or witchcraft, and bands or bondage. Now, I've got a lot to cover here. I don't want anybody sleeping. So take a good stretch there. I tend to read a lot of my lesson because I do a lot of research. Okay, had a good stretch. Now you can sit down. What a difference a generation makes. Changes in 25 years. Americans are waiting longer to marry today. More are getting divorced, resulting in more single-parent families. As many as 60% among blacks, according to 3 reports issued last week by the Census Bureau. While the man and wife family with one or more children remains the norm, it is a tradition that is rapidly eroding. Divorced persons have risen 130 per 1,000 married persons, compared with just 35 in 1960, and the proportion of one-parent families of all races has more than doubled from 13% in 1970 to 28% last year. Comment on the causes, Douglas Besheroff of the American Enterprise Institute said he doesn't think the fall is so much with economics as with trickle-down morality. The elites of the country changed their behavior, at least outward manifestations, in the 1950s, and everyone else is following. Across the board, there has been a total loosening of the old Puritan standards by which we grew up, he said. How many of you grew up with the old Puritan standards? How many of you want to get rid of them? No, we need those. People today value early marriage less, value having children less, and value having a career of their own and some fun before settling down more highly, Besheroff declared. Are adolescents valued resources? Okay, we look at marriages, now let's look at adolescents. Violence and injury account for 3 out of 4 adolescents' deaths. More than 3 out of 10 adolescents who die are killed in motor vehicle accidents. Half of these involve alcohol. That's part of my job. I investigate accidents. I'm what's called a motor vehicle accident reconstructionist, among other things. The homicide rate has doubled among 10 to 14-year-olds during the past 20 years. Homicide is the leading cause of death among black 15 to 19-year-olds. Most 10 to 19-year-old homicide victims are killed with guns. In 1987, firearms accounted for 68% of the 1,744 adolescent murders. 18% of those adolescents were killed with knives and other cutting instruments. 14% were killed with clubs, beaten to death, or strangled. Child abuse and child neglect increased 74% in the last 10 years. And you're hearing more and more about that as people minister on child abuse. There are many different kinds of child abuse. Over the past 20 years, suicide tripled among 10 to 14-year-olds and doubled among 15 to 19-year-olds. Whites are 3 times more likely than blacks to kill themselves. There are important sex differences in attempted and completed suicide. Adolescent girls are 4 to 5 times more likely than boys to attempt suicide. While boys are more likely to succeed, mainly because they choose more lethal methods. Girls generally use pills. Boys tend to hang themselves or use guns. Approximately 92% of high school seniors have consumed alcohol at least once. 50% have tried marijuana, and 15% have tried cocaine. Adolescents who currently drink alcohol are 10 times more likely than non-drinkers to use marijuana and 11 times more likely to use cocaine. By the time they are 18 years old, 65% of boys and 51% of girls are sexually active. Approximately 50% of American adolescents do not use contraceptives the first time they have intercourse. Half of the premarital pregnancies occur within the first 6 months of sexual activity. 1 in 4 sexually active high school students will get a sexually transmitted disease before graduating. Mental disorders account for 32% of the disabilities among the 10 to 18-year-olds. It is estimated that 5 million children and adolescents need mental health services but do not receive them. Another way you could say is they need deliverance, but they do not receive it. Approximately 5% of the adolescents are clinically obese, and between 5% and 25% are overweight. Pain during menstruation affects almost half of all female adolescents and is a leading cause of school absenteeism. About 1 in 4 high school seniors approves of heavy cigarette smoking and 1 or 2 drinks a day. 1 in 5 approves of trying cocaine. Meanwhile, 80% of the parents of the 8 to 17-year-olds think drugs are not a problem. How about that? The parents can't recognize the problems in their children. Young people, do you recognize these problems that are facing you? Wake up, America. The conclusion from the above articles is that the America needs to wake up. Parents need to wake up and pay more attention to their children. Parents need to pay more attention to each other. Especially the Christian churches need to wake up and teach and practice the whole Bible. God gave the Christians a winning program, but we are not using it, and the forces of evil are overcoming America. One of the things the Lord was speaking to me as I was coming up, I get on the pastors. I really jump on them for not doing their job. And the Lord reminded me there's somebody else you need to mention too. And that's the wives of the pastors, the wives of the ministers. See, when the pastors stand before God, and God goes over what they didn't do and how poor a job they did, they'll have to answer for that. But many times the wives get in the way of the pastors. We've seen that over and over again. So wives, wake up. You're going to have to stand before God too. You're going to have to answer to God for your part of the ministry, your hindrance of the ministry. General, now we're getting into the lesson. That was just sort of a preface to the lesson to let you see what's going on, to let you see the need for deliverance, to let you see how the rest of this lesson fits into place. There are invisible ties between human beings, alive and alive, and alive and dead, and between human beings and spiritual beings, and between human beings and animals. There are demonic ties, soul ties, ties of curses, witchcraft ties, and bands or bondage. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Most Christians do not believe that demons control any part of their lives. If they only knew how much, they would be aghast and would begin to take action against the forces of darkness. If they only knew how much, they would be aghast and would begin to take action against the forces of darkness. Early, and I can tell you from experience that Christians, to a large part, are controlled by demons. They think they're controlling themselves, but demons are really controlling their actions. You just analyze their actions. Analyze your actions. How much of your life do you control? How much of your life is controlled by demons? How much of your life follows the Lord, and how much of it follows the devil? Early and I spend our time primarily studying what happens to people when they do not obey the laws of God. We study God's laws of justice. Most people want to study God's laws of love. The laws of justice equally balance the laws of love. Have you fallen into that trap? You want to be blessed? Pastor, bless me. I come to the Bless Me Club tonight, Pastor. I want a blessing. Don't tell me about any of my responsibility. Well, you're in a trap. Not only that, the pastor's in a trap too, if that's what he does. Do you feel as if there is something that ties you to another, or as if there is pressure around your body? Think about ties to men, women, animals, both dead and alive, and to objects and demons. Now I want to read this again and take a poll. Do you feel as if there is something that ties you to another, or as if there is pressure around your body? Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Praise God. God's system. We believe that God has a system, has set up an invisible system of ties that we cannot see, but we can feel the results of these ties. We are knit together with God as His body. We're also knit together with others and demonic forces. The impression that we have is that there are good ties with God and bad ties with the forces of evil. You could visualize being tied up, bound up, in chains and fetters, tied to others, weighed down, under pressure, and so forth. You're either tied to others or tied up within yourself. You're carrying heavy loads on your shoulders or within your body. Feel like you're tied up with yourself? You know, you just can't get away from yourself. All you can do is introspecting. You just can't get past yourself. You can't consider anybody else but yourself. God can either put you into bondage or remove you from bondage. It is your choice, not God's. You either do or do not follow God's laws. You pay the consequence for your actions. You sow what you reap. Anybody disagree with that? That you sow what you reap? Inanimate objects. If you have a cursed object in your house, you're cursed. A cursed object does not just sit idle in your house. It will cause trouble for you. There are demons that live in or around the cursed object. Do you feel an unusual attraction or repulsion to some object in your home, office, or car? You may have a demonic tie to it. Excuse me. I'm going to read that one again. Take a poll. Do you feel an unusual attraction or repulsion to some object in your home, office, or car? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. Some friends of ours were ministers who went to Haiti. One time they brought us some car figurines as a gift. These statues caused a strife in the family. Our daughter Marie felt like there were eyes watching her as she walked across the room. The Lord finally got our attention, and we destroyed the wood figures. The wood would not burn normally, and finally I had to soak them in charcoal lighter fluid. When they finally burned, a green flame came out and shot towards us. The dolls were probably made by voodoo worshippers who blessed them so that they would be sold. After getting rid of the statues, the strife left our family. Now, these were a couple of good friends of ours. There was a pastor and his wife. We ministered together. They were the couple that taught us to minister in the black churches. And we spent a lot of time with them. And they just wanted to show us some love. So they went down to Haiti, and they thought, well, we'll just show Gene and Earlene some love. They bring these two demonic figures back. Now, see, their love for us and their innocence and ignorance, did that change the equation? No, it didn't change a thing. Okay? And it took us a while to figure out what was going on. We were a little bit slow in perceiving the evil in our home. Okay, so the demonic objects that you have, they don't just come and sit in there. There's demons that come with them to trouble you and your family, your business, your automobile, whatever. Sex with demons. There are demons that have sex with humans that may be against their will. There are worshippers in voodoo that invite demons to have sex with them during their rites. These demons are called incubus and succubus, one for males and one for females. It may be possible to form a soul tie with a demon. Spirit, soul, and body. The human being is composed of eternal spirit, intellectual soul, and fleshly body. God imparted the spirit into the womb at the moment of conception. The soul is normally thought of as mind, will, and emotions. The soul and body are grown as we develop as humans. When we die, God will take our spirit and soul into the spiritual world, leaving our fleshly body behind. We will recognize each other when we get to heaven because we will have our souls which contain our memory. An animal is composed of soul and body, but no spirit. When the animal dies, there is no indication in the Bible that God preserves any part of the animal or that any earthly animals will be found in heaven. There are heavenly animals that are there now, such as horses, and will probably be there when we arrive. Demons have a spirit and soul, but do not have a body. Do all of you know that? You know the demon is just like you are, except he doesn't have the body. That's why he wants to get in you. And when the demons talk to you, they talk to you in the first person, just like it was you. You have to learn to recognize the voices of demons. When we unite with another, we unite in the soul. A demonic tie is formed between men and women, depending on what the union is all about. A soul tie or some form of demonic tie may be formed with beasts, demons, and objects. soul ties. Soul ties are simply becoming one flesh according to the Bible. The souls are united. Soul ties are invisible ties between live humans and animals, live humans and dead humans. Soul ties between live humans would include husband and wife, man and whore, woman and gigolo, man and man, and woman and woman. Soul ties between humans and animals would include sex with animals by men or women. Soul ties between live humans and dead humans would include any inability to give up the dead or influence the dead on the living. For instance, demonic grief. Erlene could tell you about that. After a son died, you enter into a period of natural grief, and then at some point it becomes demonic grief. And don't let anybody tell you if one of your loved ones dies, you can't grieve. If that's not Christian, that's nonsense. There's a natural grief, and there is a demonic grief. Have you been married before and divorced or separated? Is your former mate dead? If so, you have a soul tie with that person that needs to be broken unless you plan to reunite with that person after temporary separation. And I better explain that. Let's say you and your wife or husband have a fight. It's a bad one. So one of you leaves. And so you go to see Mama and Daddy. And then you think about it and you decide, we ought to get back together. So you don't have sex with anybody and you come back together. That's fine. That's what the Bible says today. But let's say, for instance, you go out and you're really mad. You say, I'll show that old so-and-so. And so you just go, just in spite of anger, you have sex with somebody just to have revenge against your husband or your wife. Well, you've broken the marriage. You've adulterated the marriage. Okay, then you really have no right to go back to your husband. Godly soul ties. There's a good soul tie between godly married mates. This was established by God as one of his laws. Erlene and I have a godly soul tie. Come up here, honey. This is our only marriage, and we do not have any other form of mates. We are one flesh. We became one flesh when we united in sex. Marriage in the Bible was consummated when the couple came together sexually. They simply went into the tent, had sex, and they were married in the sight of God. There is no need for paperwork or formalities in the sight of God. These are needed for man's world. Okay, so Erlene and I, we are one flesh. I hope we present a good picture to you. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, we are one flesh. Erlene and I have been married for over 30 years now. We've grown closer together through the years. We tend to think more like each other and so forth. Well, it's God's way. Now, I don't understand a lot of this. But it's God's way of merging the two of us together as one flesh. Okay, and I'm giving you the godly things, the beautiful things about this that the Lord has wrought in our lives. Okay, so our souls are joined together. Not our bodies. See, we got two bodies, two separate bodies. Okay, but our souls are joined together. Now, that came about when we had sex. The first time we had sex, we joined our souls together. Now, that applies in any type of sex. This is good sex, godly sex with my wife. Okay? Any other type is ungodly. You still got the same soul tie, though. Okay, thank you, honey. Fornication and adultery. Fornication is all sexual acts outside of godly marriage union. Fornication would include sex between men and women before marriage, even if the consenting adults got married after sex. Most people think that if they get married after a child is conceived, it is not illegitimate. In the sight of God, the child is a bastard. You see that over and over again in life. People that don't know. They have sex, they conceive, they say, boy, we better get married, so this child will be legitimate. No, the child is illegitimate. The Bible says it's a bastard. The curses are already there. A soul tie is formed immediately upon the sexual act. God made the woman to have a strong attraction to the first man that she had sex with. It is going to be very difficult for the woman to forget her first sexual partner, even when she gets married to another man. She may want to go back to her first partner as she goes through life. Now, I don't need hands raised on this one. Okay, but wait a minute. Think about the first person you had sex with. And the chances are pretty good it may not have been your husband. Think about that. Think about your attraction to the first person you had sex with. All right, God made it that way. He made it for you to have a strong attraction to the first man that you had sex with. Okay, since I've been at the camp, one gentleman told about how he ministered to another gentleman, and he saw in the spirit, he saw the man had five bullet holes in his chest. These were spiritual bullet holes. Well, he discerned and told the man, he says, "Have you had sex with five prostitutes?" And the man said, "Yes." Okay, so for every prostitute he had sex with, he had a bullet hole in his spirit. Think about that. Adultery is ungodly sexual acts in marriage with another person. Adultery is also defined as fornication. If a man or woman has sex outside of marriage with another, then a soul tie is formed with that person. When the married person goes to bed with their godly mate, it is as if they were bringing the other people to bed with them. This explains why people have some problems with their sex lives. They think about others during their time. Okay, so when you go to bed, you bring all your partners with you if you hadn't broken the soul ties. Sex with a harlot, whore, prostitute, gigolo, either male or female, causes a soul tie to be formed just the same as if the marriage was legitimate before God. Any soul tie outside of marriage is ungodly. And I'm talking about a single marriage. I'm not talking about multiple marriages. The world gets caught up in the age-old trap of thinking that sex is love. Sex is not love. Sex is sex. Sex in marriage should be sex with love, but may only be sex without love. This may be brought about by the wife bargaining for sex with a husband to get something she wants or for some other reason. Homosexuality. Is it okay for homosexuality? Okay to have homosexual priests and priestesses? Homosexuality forms soul ties between men and men or women and women. They have united their souls through the sexual act of sodomy. There is now a spiritual tie between them similar to the ties of being married. Have you ever wondered why these people can do these gross acts? Have you ever wondered, how can people do such gross things? You gotta read some of these books about people that are researching. Well, they're driven by demons. Bestiality. Bestiality is a sexual union between man or woman and beast. It may be that a soul tie is formed between the person and the beast. Have you noticed that some people treat their animals as if they were their children? Why do people have an ungodly attraction for animals? It is probably not all for bestiality, but it illustrates how a person can be attracted to animals as if they were humans. Do you treat your animal, your pet, as if it were a human? As if it were your child? Curses. Curses are a type of demonic tie between the living and between the living and the dead. Curses speak of oaths, binding, and lying upon. God can curse us for not following His laws. We can curse ourselves and bind ourselves under a curse. We can curse others and bind them under a curse if we have the authority to do so, such as our children. How many times have you cursed your children? How many times did Earlene and I curse our children through ignorance? Image makes you shudder to think about it and the consequences of those curses. When the curse is broken, there is a release as if a tie had been severed. I can remember times when we would break a curse on someone and there'd be a sudden release. I have always wanted to see the connection in the spiritual world of the curse emanating from someone and landing on someone else. We can curse ourselves or we can be cursed by others. How does the release occur? Is the tie suddenly severed, or does the demon suddenly leave, or what really happens? I wish God would open my eyes so that I could see in the spiritual world and see what happens then. I would like to see what happens as we pray, war in the spirit world, and so forth. Practice in deliverance is the best education that I know of to help you see in the spiritual world and understand what happens. And that's true. You really get a tremendous education when you get in deliverance. It really opens your eyes. I highly recommend it for all Christians. Get into deliverance one way or the other. You don't have to be a deliverance minister. Just get into it. Receive it. Begin to work in your own life, your family, your husband, your wife, your children, whatever. I've asked the Lord a number of times, the Lord, let me see in the spiritual world. I wish God would open my eyes so that I could look around and see the demons within you, see the demons in the air, see the angels around us, see into the heavens, see everything except God. Now, you can't ask to see God because you would die. If I were to look upon God right now, I would die because of my condition. But I would like to see the demons. I'd like to see what I'm fighting against. But by and large, I don't see demons. I see demon manifestations. I see them looking through your eyes or whatever, talking through you. But I just like to see the whole thing. Erlene doesn't want to see the whole thing. Witchcraft. Witchcraft is the attempt to exercise control over others for personal gain. It can be practiced by white witchcraft, so-called good witchcraft, black witchcraft, or evil witchcraft, or someone who doesn't even think that they are a witch. Deliberate witchcraft would be practiced by someone in the occult or Satan worship. You don't have to be a witch or a warlock to practice witchcraft. When we go to a witch to gain hidden knowledge or something for ourselves, we are seeking to them as we would seek to God. We are submitting ourselves to them, become obligated to them, and they begin to exercise control over us. Unknown witchcraft would be practiced by someone trying to control others for their benefit or even for good intentions. Parents have a right and responsibility to control children that are underage and are supported by them. Now listen to this one. Parents do not have the right or responsibility to control children that are of age and are not supported by them, especially when they're married. We run into a lot of problems through the parents trying to control the children after they leave home, and especially when they're married. We had some problems along that line, too, turning Marie loose. It took about 3 months. Unknown witchcraft is commonly practiced in the Christian world by laymen and leaders. It is called charismatic witchcraft. How do you like that term? Charismatic witchcraft. A pastor or leader who tries to control his flock or group is practicing witchcraft. He or she may feel that they know what is best for their people, and they try to force it to happen. They may or may not know what is best for others, but they have no right to force their will on others. The best example is God. He will not force his will on us. Did God force you to be a Christian? Do you have a right to go to hell? Sure, and God will let you go to hell. You have a right to go to heaven? Sure, and God will let you go to heaven. It's your choice. Okay, look at other people that way. Except your underage children. We have worked with people who have been controlled by a dictatorial pastor. The pastor has formed soul ties with those who have yielded to his control under the direction, rather than the direction of God in their lives. It is necessary to forgive the pastor, break soul ties, and cast out demons. So pastors or Christian leaders, are you trying to control your people? Okay, people, are you submitting to the pastor rather than God?
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.